Sonny says the enemy is very cunning. He gives 90% truth and 1% lie. We have to know his word to know his voice. Amen. And I'm all for knowing the word. Amen. I'm just blessed to hear Howard's voice. I know he wanted to share for a while, and he wasn't sure about that mic and wasn't sure about himself, so that was a blessing. You have to get Judy on there one of these times. I know she's not afraid to talk. Okay, anybody else? K-Men says, the so-called signs and wonders sent me to Toronto through my former pastor, who boasts of going to Toronto for meetings and service, are 50 times. Whew. 50 times. Wow. Gary says, did you ever hear David Wilkerson preach? No, I never did hear him preach it. Did you? I don't think David Wilkerson preaches eternal security as far as I know. Wait a minute. We got another special treat here. The mama would like to say something again. She's coming out of her shell, too. Hang on. Let's get her in the driver's seat here. You ready? Okay, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, I just wanted to say something about the signs and miracles that Brother Poonen talked about yesterday. Along with that, he talked about John the Baptist and his ministry making straight the path for the Lord. And he spoke about a scripture that wasn't very real to me until yesterday in John 10:41. It said, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And, you know, it really struck my heart that John did no miracles. He just was a voice crying in the wilderness, and he stood up for God. And this brother said that he knows that God is calling a people that will give their whole life to God and will be a voice in the wilderness to make straight the second coming of the Lord. And it was such a blessing to me. And he said John had no miracles. We don't need miracles. We need a voice crying in the wilderness that will stand up. They said that all things that John spake of Jesus were true. And if everything we speak of Jesus must be true. And that's what God's looking for. People that because of the time we're in and because of the closeness of the tribulation period and the coming of Jesus Christ the second time, he's looking for a people that will be a voice in the wilderness. Hallelujah. That will stand up for truth. And they don't need the miracles, because too many false miracles are out there now. John the Baptist did not have any miracles, the Bible said. And we won't need miracles if we have a voice crying in the wilderness. Thank you.
There you go. The other says, Dan, my aunt wants to know what the scripture means. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Well, let me just put it this way. You know, the Old Testament was all about this earth and having a blessing of the earth. I said this before, the Old Testament and the New Testament are radically different. Under the Old Testament, if you were a true servant of God, if you served God faithfully, he blessed you in the natural realm. That's all there was. That's all there was in the Old Testament, was this natural life. You don't find anything about eternity, anything about heaven, going to hell or anything like that in the Old Testament. It's all about the natural life. You know, if you serve God, he'll defeat your enemies, he'll make your crops grow, he'll give you, it's all about, he'll make you, give you plenty of children, your quiver will be full, and blah, 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 on it goes. It was all about the natural wealth. When John the Baptist came on the scene, you know, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wasn't just saying repent because you're not obeying Moses' law. He was saying repent, that whole mindset. Turn around, get your mind off of the earthly realm, because now there's the spiritual component of the kingdom is starting to come. You know, it's coming with Jesus, coming in power of the Lord. It's going to be established in pockets through the earth with the church, until finally, at the end, is established all over the earth. So when he says repent, he wasn't just saying repent because you're breaking Moses' law. He was saying, turn your mind from this earthly existence, which all it was in the Old Testament. If you obey God, he defeats your enemies. And I think maybe that's part of that verse. You defeat your enemies in battle, you get their wealth. Because God's not worried about money in the kingdom. Unless he's talking about spiritual wealth, somehow that could be translated to spiritual wealth, metaphorically, in the kingdom. He's not worried about us getting money. So I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but Proverbs 30, yeah, okay, so it's in the Old Testament, so it's everything in the Old Testament was about obeying God so you could be blessed on the earth, so your earthly existence could be blessed. When you come to the New Testament, it's just the opposite. God's not really interested in your earthly existence, except you got to keep alive, and you got to be, you know, relatively healthy to do God's will. He's interested in the spiritual realm, the things eternal, the spiritual aspect of the kingdom, the spiritual component of the kingdom, which was not revealed to Israel. What they weren't walking in, they had no idea what it was about. That spiritual component came to earth through the power of the Lord through the disciples and when the church was established. You know, so what John was saying, get your eyes off that whole earthly realm. The kingdom of heaven is coming. There's a whole other realm you know nothing about. Whole other life. And it's coming to earth. So that's why I say, I've said this before, the health and wealth gospel and this dominionism, they're taking people back into the old covenant because it's all about this life. It's all about you serve God and it's this life. You serve God, will give you money. You'll prosper. You're going to establish a literal kingdom on earth and you're going to be a king of the kingdom and you're going to be a head of governments. We're going to take control of the governments and the culture and all that kind of stuff. That's all Old Testament. That's all Old Testament. They're taking God's New Testament people back in the Old Testament. None of that stuff is about the New Covenant. The New Covenant is another life, another realm, the eternal realm. It's not on things seen. It's not on things of this earth. You know, we have to live on this earth. We have to survive on this earth, work, get money, eat, all that stuff. But our life, our goals, our desires, our vision, that's supposed to be this earth. And that's what all these people are taking God's people back from the New Testament to the Old Testament. You know, and many of these dominionists, many of the dominionists and the Word of Faith people, they're always in the Old Testament pulling those verses out, you know, and say, you know, you sow a seed, you sow a seed of faith, giving money, and God will bless you. And that's God's will to bless you monetarily. It's God's will that you prosper. It's God's will that you have a great business. It's God's will that you have health and wealth and all that stuff. That's all Old Testament. They're pulling it out of the Old Testament and focusing God's people in the natural realm. And then you wonder why God's people don't have any vision. They don't have any spiritual vision. They don't know about the high calling. They don't know about walking in a new man, what the new man even is. That's why, because they've taken the people back to the old covenant. You know, it's okay to quote the old covenant, but you got to quote the old covenant in its New Testament application and its New Testament fulfillment. We just keep quoting the Old Testament within the framework of the Old Testament, within the mindset of that thing. You're taking people out of the new covenant back in the old covenant. Does that make sense to anybody? Okay. Anybody else have anything like to share or ask? I should start a Ask the Rabbi Hour. Oh, boy. Okay, that's no problem. That happens a lot to everybody. Well, should we do our mic setup night? We come in an hour early or something, we test our mics again? We did that once already. I did that once in the chat room already. I don't know if anybody's here that actually did it that night. But if you want, we can come in an hour early some night. Or, I mean, next Sunday or whatever. We'll open room early and anybody come in and just check their mics. Anybody want to do that? Okay. What we'll do then is we'll plan on next Sunday. I'll open the room at 6:30 Eastern Time. 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. And you guys just come in and one at a time we'll work with your mics and get you talking. All right? Anybody, does that sound good to everybody? I'm going to write your names down. And once I see you got your mics working, then you're going to have to talk. Okay. Well, anybody else have anything you'd like to share? Whoops, hang on a second. Got Marlo wants to talk. Go ahead, Marlo.
Hi, can you hear me? Hi, everybody. Hi, Dan. Hi, my brothers and sisters. Dan, great word as usual. I'm so blessed to be in this room. I can't even thank God enough for just opening up doors and allowing me to be with like-minded people. I just wanted to share a little bit of my experience when I first became a Christian. You know, God calls us to be disciples and to make disciples of others. And the word disciple means to be like somebody in word, in thought, and in deed. I mean, our whole experience is to be Christ-like, is to become like the Lord. So as we take up our cross and as we walk and as we follow Him, we begin to shed our old men. Those things fall off of us. And as we follow Him, we become more like Him. But it requires us to follow Him. It requires us to become like Him. Well, how do we become like Him? How do we get His mind? How do we follow some? Well, the only way to do that is to read His Word, to know what He's like, so that we can be like Him. That requires prayer. It requires reading His Word. It requires fellowshipping with others that can help us and encourage us and discipline us. And I think that as we do that, those things come off of us. Our old man begins to die, and we become more and more and more like Him. And it is a process, but the important thing is to be willing to do that, to be willing to pray. The Word of God says if you draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. And I know when I first became a Christian, I didn't get it all right at first. I knew that I loved the Lord. I knew that He died for me. I knew that He took my sin upon Him, and because of that, I now can have eternal life. But now there was a part that I had to play in that, and that was to know Him so I could become like Him. And slowly but surely, as I drew to Him, He began to draw to me. He began to the scales were removed from my eyes. I had ears to hear. I became convicted of things. Nobody had to tell me to do certain things. I was being convicted as I was watching. For instance, I'll give you an example. I used to watch the show Friends, and for those of you who may not know that show, this is several years ago. On that show was a lesbian. There was a girl who dabbled in, she was like psychic stuff, and there was fornicating and drinking and living together. It wasn't, you know, a great show, but prior to being a Christian, I watched it. Well, you know what? A couple of years into being a Christian, I just remember turning the TV on one night and all of a sudden just being completely convicted not to watch this anymore. And I remember the Lord just speaking to my heart and saying, why would you want to watch that? Why would you want to put that stuff into your spirit? Things that are so antichrist. And you know what? Boom, that was gone. That was one thing down, other things to go. And it was a couple of years later that I remember, you know, I used to wear on the beach. I didn't always wear a one-piece and a cover-up. And I'll just remember 1 year just feeling completely exposed. Never felt like that prior to that. But that was what was being born out of the process of my continuing to seek Him and read His Word and know who He is and opening myself up to allowing Him to correct me and saying, Lord, I want to be like You. And I just know that if we all do that, if we all have the desire in our heart to truly become Christ-like, He will be more than happy to perfect us and to become, have us become like Him, because that's what He wants to. And that's all. I thank you all. God bless everyone. Love you all. Bye.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Marlo. Amen. That's good. You walk in a new life, you start walking in victory. God can speak to your conscience. As long as we're doing that, that's fine. That's how we grow. Anybody else want to share anything? He said he only did what he said the Father do. We need only do what we see Him do. That's right. Amen. The other says the Holy Spirit shows us truth and gives us the ability to turn from the things that offended Him. That's true. And Harold says, that's hearing the shepherd's voice. Yes. Thanks for sharing. Thanks, everybody, for sharing. Anybody else? Marlo says, Dan, should I share about the demonic thing I shared with you? You want to? Go ahead. I'll reach the mic. Go ahead.
Dan, I don't know, remember, but I shared this with you. It's not exactly what we were talking about, but I really wanted to share this because I think this is a really great testimony. One night I was invited to go to see a quote-unquote prophet, a girlfriend of mine. And I really knew the Lord was telling me not to go. And she called me back up, and I gave in. You know, please, please, I don't want to go alone. So I went with her, and right away that was, of course, not a good thing because I was disobeying what the Lord put on my heart. And I went to this home. I had never been there before. There were about three different couples there, plus the host and the hostess. And there's no sound. Hello? Can you hear me? Okay. The host and the hostess had a gentleman from India who didn't speak English, so everything had to be translated. And he began to pray, and immediately something was very wrong. And it wasn't because he was speaking in another language. I could tell in my spirit. I could sense in the room. And I just remember looking at my friend and giving her the look like, I cannot believe you brought me here. And what are we doing here? I honestly would have loved to have gotten up and left, but I came in her car. It was freezing cold outside, probably 10 degrees. Had nowhere to go, so I sat there, which was a huge mistake, because the whole time all I could say was, oh Lord, please don't let him touch me. Please don't let him touch me. Please don't let him touch me. Well, he started going around the room, laying hands on people, prophesying over them. And when he got to me, he pressed on my heart my head so hard. I just remember saying, oh, Lord, I knew this wasn't the Spirit, but I know without a shadow of a doubt this isn't the Spirit of the Lord hurting my head like this. And he began to prophesy over me, and you know what? It was true what he was saying, but I knew that it was familiar spirits. It was all past stuff. It wasn't anything present. Well, anyway, when we left that night, I told my friend, I was so upset. I says, I am never going to any of these things again. I am so upset that I came. I went home that night, went to sleep, woke up the next morning with a headache. And I do not typically get headaches. Headaches are not something I usually get. And I thought it was kind of odd, but, you know, the day went through. I went to bed, woke up the next day with the headache, and I just was saying, Lord. And I began to pray for a healing, you know, heal me, Lord, oh, you know, whatever, on and on, asking for healing, no healing. Wednesday comes, I wake up Wednesday morning, and I have a headache still. Now, this is very, very odd. I said, Lord, something's really wrong. Lord, I've prayed for healing. I'm not getting a healing. This headache is not going away. And the Lord put on my heart that it was a demon that had attacked me. Now, I had to fight this, not by asking for a healing, but I had to rebuke this thing. I had to cast it out. First thing I did was repent that I even went there because the Lord told me not to. Secondly, that I even allowed this man to put his hand on me because I really should have been bold enough to stand up and say no and not be afraid of man and what man was going to say to me, but to listen what the Lord was speaking to me, which was, get out of there. And so after I repented, I rebuked it. I said, in the name of Jesus, this thing is a spirit. I cast it out in the name of the Lord. And immediately the headache went away. So I knew without a shadow of a doubt that's what I was dealing with. So, you know what? Looking back now, I mean, I went through all that, and I disobeyed, and I had to repent. However, I really learned a very valuable lesson. I mean, I know firsthand that you can have a demon attack you, that come against you, especially when you leave yourself open to things like that, when you've disobeyed what the Lord has said. You know, not put yourself in a position to go against what God is telling your heart to do, no matter. And my biggest concern was what they were going to think about me. So I just wanted to share that to let you know that these things do happen, that the demons are there, and that we cannot open ourselves up and put ourselves into positions to allow these things to come upon us. But thank you for letting me share again. Thanks, Dan. God bless.
That's good. Good testimony. I don't talk about this much because I know people, some people don't even believe they can have a spirit. Other people do. They're very cautious about it. But I think one of the areas that you come into once God's done a work in your life and you're kind of moving on the spirit, that's one of the areas he brings you into, is not just getting the spirits out of our own lives, but then walking free from the influence of spirits and other people. And that's sort of where we're at right now. The Lord's been teaching us to do the last couple of years. Just walk free from the influence of the spirits other people walk in. You know, and it's an interesting lesson to learn. And, of course, I mean, you talk to most people about that, and they think you're just way out in left field. They have no idea what you're talking about. Don't think it's possible. And they think, oh, that's crazy. But that's what's going on with us. So God's teaching us how to stay pure from the spirits of other people. You know, you get around people, you start praying with them, you start singing with them, you start entering a spiritual union with them through prayer and certain kinds of fellowship, and they have another spirit, you're liable to come under it. You open yourself up to it unless the Lord's protecting you. So that's why it's important to only pray with people you know, and or you pray with people that God's lead you to pray with, and go places God's told you to go. And when you're involved in spiritual things, when you're engaged in spiritual union with other people, you've got to make sure that the covering of God's on you. Because there's lots of Christians who are still involved in spirits themselves, and we open the door to that, we end up being influenced by them. It's very easy to be influenced by them. It's also very easy to get out from under them once you find out. But since most Christians don't believe you can have a demon, they get involved with somebody, and they start having problems in their life. They never attribute it to a demon spirit. They never attribute it to that kind of thing, and they may go for months or weeks, and never years, never even want to understand what's going on. You know, so I don't talk about that too much because that's an experiential thing. It's something you got to experience. You can't just point to the Bible and say, this is a chapter and verse for this. But so, I mean, I'm glad you shared there, Marlo. That's good. Because that's another area God's got to lead his people into, to stay free, to go into perfection. So it's good you shared that. Okay, guys. Anybody else? maybe next week we get our mic set up, there'll be some more. Maybe you guys will be more ready. Caymans says, what about Christians who go to the bar? There's a bar here that belongs to a Christian couple, so people from that church go there, and they call it a Christian bar. Okay? Well, that's about the same like Christian pornography or Christian murder. Actually, I wasn't going to announce this because I didn't think anybody was interested, but I'm putting a thing up on my web tomorrow about drinking, to tell you the truth. Came about from last week. I think last week we were discussing smoking and different things and drinking, and I mentioned a book from a scholar who dealt with the whole issue of Christians drinking alcohol in moderation, it's called. And as I read through that, I really felt impressed with the Lord to make that book available. Now, I can't give it away because you have to order. It's a hard copy. But there's another book out by another brother on the same lines that really trashes that whole idea. And that's available. I'm going to put that in my website as a PDF file. You can read it there. You can download it there or read it to your computer, whatever. And I don't believe Christians should drink. And I believe it's a black mark on the name of the Lord. And I believe the scriptures are misinterpreted and twisted to give people the notion that you can drink as a Christian. I know a lot of people don't think that's true. They think it's okay if you drink a little wine here and there or whatever, with a supper or whatever. I know many good brothers who take a little wine now and then, but I don't believe it's biblical, and I believe the Bible's against it. I believe the Bible is against it. And so I'm putting it, I'm going to make this stuff up on my website tomorrow, make it available, and I encourage you all to read it. I encourage you all to read that book you can download and read. I encourage you all to read it because the Bible is not confused on the issue. And I think a lot of people drink because they really don't understand the scriptures against it. It's not that they want to disobey the word of God. There's a bunch of confusion and different opinions and all kinds of stuff that surround that whole swirl around that whole issue. And I feel these two books really clarify it and really bring to light the truth. And so I'm going to make them available for anybody that's interested. It'll be up for a while. All right? So the reason I said that is because your question was about what about Christians go to bars. I think definitely you're out of place being a bar. I mean, that's the world through and through. And that's just the world being brought into the church. If you call it a Christian bar, then I believe you're in deception. And that's what I believe it is. Sorry. If you don't agree, that's fine. Whatever. Any of you guys have anything else to share? How about a teaching on tattoos, Dan? Tattoos, as far as I'm concerned, that's marking your body up. It says in the Old Testament, you're not going to put engravings on your skin. You know, you're not supposed to mar yourself. That whole culture of tattoos, pierced earrings, body piercing, all that stuff is just, it's demonic. It's destroying the temple. Okay? That's what you told one of your pastors who has a tattoo? Good for you. You're not supposed to mar your body. That's satanic. You don't mar your body. Marlo says they don't think it's spiritual. Oh, they don't think it's spiritual. They don't think there's spirits behind it. Well, of course not. No, I think it's just a cultural thing. It's relevance. You be relevant. You know, it's like the rock music. You can't sing any old hymns now because that's not relevant. You got to use rock music. The old hymns are no good anymore. Same thing with tattoos. Tattoos feed vanity. Vanity is spiritual, says Forgiven. Cayman says, when I first met Ty Bentley, he had no earring or tattoo. A few years later, he had one earring and now has graduated to full body tattoos. Yeah, well, that tells you what kind of spirit he's listening to. Fishhead says, I know y'all talk about it, but that was pretty sad about Todd. Yes, that's a sad case. His followers must be heartbroken. Yes, but I don't think it'll cause him to see the light, do you? I doubt it. You're dealing with a spiritual power, a spirit of delusion. Gary says, God dropped a hammer on him as a witness testimony. We need to pray for him and all like him. Well, you go right ahead, Gary. If you feel to pray for him, that's fine. I'm not praying for him. So everybody has to be led to what to, you know, do what they feel the Lord told them to do. If you feel to pray for him, go right ahead. Forgiven says, the beast has risen in that man's temple. Amen. Amen, Forgiven. Antichrist is sitting in that temple. You better believe it. Marlo says, I have to be honest. I don't feel led to pray for him either. Perm says, why would you want to pray for a wolf? Fish has to turn him into a sheep. I knew that was coming. That's okay. I understand what you're saying, Gary. You'd like to see him repent. Such were some of us. Well, I don't know if that's such were some of us or not. I don't believe I was ever in that condition. I was a sinner. And I was out in the world. and I was falling away from God. But I was not a false prophet, and I was not involved in the spirit of Antichrist calling power down to deceive millions of people. That's a little bit differently, in my case at least. I see it differently. Yale says, I think Peter Wagner and the rest should come forward and repent. Yes, they should. Amen, they should. Gary says, I see what's happening. I hate to see what's happening to the body of Christ, seeing what it did to my wife. I don't want anyone. I understand that. Cayman says, if you listen to his testimony, nobody really led him to the Lord. If he received Christ at all, he never talks about it. Yeah. You were saying that Cayman's to make the point that he's a wolf, right? He probably was never saved, right? Which I probably agree with. Right. The way I see things right now with people, all things are possible with God. That's true. That is so true. All things are possible with God. Technically speaking, nobody's gone too far for God to reach. Whether they're saved and backslid, or whether they weren't ever saved or whatever. So all things are possible with God. But I'll tell you, not all things are probable with men. I believe some people are so bound by the spirit of Antichrist that they think is God. You know, it's one thing if you're a sinner, you're out in the bars, if you're a pagan and you're sinning, you know you don't have God, and you come to Jesus. That's one thing. When you think you have Jesus, when you're convinced that you're talking to Jesus and that he's talking to you, he's giving you dreams and visions, he's leading and guiding you every step of the way, he's supernaturally in your life every day. When you're utterly convinced that that is Jesus Christ and it's another spirit, there's not very much hope for you. Technically, yes, all things are possible. But is it probable they'll ever get out of that? No, not at all. And the more you're in that, the more your pride, the ego, the vanity, the glory, it's just the longer they're in it, the more impossible it is for them to get free. That's the way I see it. You know. Okay, Sonny says, maybe this is a test from God, so God will see who will follow. Yeah, I believe that's true. That's probably what's going on. Also, that's true. That's why discernment is so important. Amen. Cayman says he only talks about soaking in his apartment. He said the spirit used to pin him to the floor during soaking for hours. Well, that's not God. None of that stuff is God. So you know he's got another spirit sitting in his temple. It's not a question of this brother has the wrong doctrine here or just has a funny voice talking to him. This brother is immersed. He's totally consumed. He's been devoured by a religious spirit, the spirit of Antichrist. It's sitting in his temple. To him, it is God. Everything he knows about God, his whole concept of God, is that spirit. When it's an experiential thing, it's very hard to get out of. Very, very hard to get out of. Not many people are going to get out of it. It's just that simple. Forgiven says the Holy Spirit will not force himself on you ever. Amen. It's like the Holy Spirit's like a dove. Very gentle. Very gentle. The Holy Spirit comes and touches our conscience. You know, it says, this is not right. There's something wrong here. And if we don't immediately yield, if we don't want to hear, we're not listening for it, and immediately yield to it, he just sort of just flies away and says, okay, I'll just let you go your way. You know, you don't have to listen to me. He doesn't come on us like a sumo wrestler. It's not the way it goes. And many people reject that still small voice for whatever reason, and he just lets them go into the other spirit. It's very sad. Okay. Am I back? Listen, guys, I think my dish is going crazy. So I think we have to close the room tonight. My dish is going funky, and I'm cutting out, so I better close the room before it closes for me, okay? So I thanks you all for coming. I'm sorry about the problems here. And like I said, if you can still hear me, 6:30 next week, you want to check your mic, okay? Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.